Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 27th day of March, 2024, Hump Day, and I'm your host, Mark Call, and I gave some consideration today as to how I should start off, maybe a conspiracy theory and now fact update, but it occurred to me pretty rapidly that was pretty much the entire show, especially now that at least some of the smoke may be starting to clear from the latest front page example, the Baltimore Port and Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse after it got rammed by an out-of-control container ship. And before we even know how many people actually died, Big Brother's unconstitutional three-letter agencies are out there telling people, along, of course, with the horse from the White Whorehouse, that although we haven't even pretended yet to have an investigation, that the one thing you know for sure is that it's not terrorism. Which, come to think of it, may be truer than they'd like you to believe. If they do it, it's not terrorism. It's not even election fraud. It's democracy. General Michael Flynn was on with Alex Jones, asked, can we take this idea that it's terrorism off the table? He basically said, hell no. We absolutely cannot do that, said President Trump's former national security advisor. And General Flynn called the container ship ramming the 1.6-mile-long bridge at the port of Baltimore a black swan event, saying that both the national security implications and resulting economic devastation are unquestionably immense. All right, well then, on to the conspiracy theory review, starting with the obvious, eye of the storm, the WAPO, where the fact that something is a transparent lie doesn't even slow them down. Here's an example, a headline from today's Washington Post that says, was the 2020 election stolen? I guess the answer is duh, if you have half a brain, but they are making a big deal about this. Job interviews at the RNC take an unusual turn. And listen to this. Those seeking employment at the Republican National Committee after a Trump-backed purge of the committee this month have been asked in job interviews if they have the intelligence to recognize, and this is not how the WAPO puts it, folks, if they believe that the 2020 election was stolen, according to people familiar with the interviews. And get this, says the WAPO, making the false claim a litmus test of sorts for hiring. It's kind of like saying, do you have an IQ above room temperature? Sorry, if not, move on down the road. There's the DNC and CNN and the WAPO too. They'll all take you. Well, all right, I guess I should have added, that is, if you're woke enough. One person looking for a job, and certainly good riddance applies here, is RNC former chairman Ronna McDaniel, who got hired at least temporarily by nothing but communism to be a panelist with their other wokesters. But wait, the other wokesters had a hissy fit. It's almost funny, folks. Here's Zero Hedge's coverage. Inmates running the NBC asylum, it says in the headline. Just 4 days after she was hired, before she even really started, former RNC committee chairwoman Ronna McDaniel was fired by NBC News, sick, on Tuesday as the network bent to the wishes of its so-called on-air talent. Who protested her hiring during their programs. McDaniel was poised to become another talking head, providing insights, yeah, sure, into politics, at least the right kind of insights for the right kind of airheads, heading into November's, maybe, general election. But news of her hiring broke on Friday, immediately igniting a firestorm among the wokesters and the left. And that's inside and outside of NBC's hallowed echo chambers. In the days that followed, a parade of hosts, including Chuck Todd, Joe Scarborough, and Joy Reid, all of them so far left they can't even recognize what center means, dedicated portions of their shows to raking their bosses, or are they, over the coals for hiring McDaniel. Rachel Maddow was among the most melodramatically outright warped, saying that having McDaniel on the payroll was inexplicable. She just couldn't figure it out because she, quote, hasn't just attacked us as journalists. How's that for a misnomer? But is part of an ongoing project to get rid of our system of government.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done! I'm melting! Melting! Oh, what a world! What a world!
And just how over the top are the wicked witches of the left? Well, so bad it was that even the leftist Daily Mail had to point this one out. The headline says, NBC's Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow rejoice in ex-RNC chair Ronna McDaniel's firing as their boss's spineless memo apologizing to left-leaning reporters is revealed. Yeah, and they printed the whole memo, along with video of the witches offering up goats in celebration. The slime, it says, quote, couldn't wait to share their excitement on air with their viewers. And here's the sycophant Cesar Conde sending out that apologetic memo to the far-left staffers who just had that hissy fit, but they're happier now that Rana is out. Quote, there's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news sick group after listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, all of you, of course, so far left that even I was surprised. Back to the text. I have decided that Ronald McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor, unquote. You know why? Because their initial decision, that wasn't the final one given the leftist knee-jerk, but the initial decision was made due to the network's, quote, deep commitment to presenting our audiences, those that haven't yet figured out how far left we really are, with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, particularly during these consequential times. Unquote. And I guess given all the hoo-ha, it's fair to let President Donald Trump get his 2 cents worth in. Wow, he wrote later. Ronna McDaniel got fired by fake news NBC. She only lasted 2 days, and this after McDaniel went out of her way to say what they wanted to hear. It leaves her, he said, in a very strange place. It's called Never Neverland, and it's not a place you want to be. These radical left lunatics are crazy, and the top people at NBC are weak. They were broken and embarrassed, and he puts a lot of this in caps, by low ratings, highly overpaid so-called talent, and yeah, bring back free and fair press, make America great again, 2024, unquote. He said on Truth Social, which, by the way, just went public on the NASDAQ, first time in 30 years that part of Donald Trump's business empire has gone public. Trading started with a bang, say all the various stories. The stock soared, and by some estimates, it's now valued at more than the New York Times by stock price. You know the left is coming unglued over that. And arguably, no doubt about it, when it comes to truth. And what do you bet that'll mean Leticia James is looking for an excuse already to steal that business, too? From there, let's just do a quick headline review from some of the other conspiracy theories made facts by, actual facts from the Gateway Pundit. An election integrity firm has said that 7 to 18% of various registered voters in 26 different states either do not exist or reside at an address that does not exist.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along. Move along.
Here's another weirdness. The captain and crew of the Dally, that's the ship that took out the port of Baltimore and the Key Bridge there, were all taken to Walmart right before the ship crashed into the Key Bridge. Well, at least it wasn't Disneyland. I've seen multiple reports that various government officials are asking so-called news outlets, well, if you're big enough to be bought anyway, not to show the footage of the container ship taking out the bridge like a string of dominoes. I guess it's just too embarrassing, even for folks drinking the It's Not Terrorism Kool-Aid. And two brief related stories. First from Cliff Kincaid about the terror attack, as he puts it, in Baltimore. Considering the reality, it begins, of Chinese and Russian cyber warfare, as documented, even by the FBI and other TLAs, the assumption had better be terrorism until somebody is able to prove otherwise. Once, folks, that would have been an unarguably valid point, even though what we saw was a clear exercise in government CYA, continued Cliff Kincaid. They must think we're fools, and on that there's no disagreement. Laura Logan appeared with Steve Bannon on his War Room show. And this is so important and so detailed, I'm going to play an extended excerpt now.
Laura, you've been on fire. I saw the Gateway Pundit piece that talked about what you're coming out with. We've had a Posobiec. Look, as a naval officer, I can tell you, something is not right about this situation. They got pilots, the most professional guys around. I don't know how they steered it at 8 knots right into the foundational element of the bridge. They could have dropped anchor. They should have had backup systems. You say there may be something. Here's the other thing that's concerned me. Why they run to the mic head? McCabe on this morning on at sunrise on CNN saying it's not terrorism. It's not terrorism. It's not. It might not be terrorism.
And here again, folks, he's right. It might not be. But they do not know that. But to make that claim just plain, well, strains any credulity.
But why do you come to the mic right away? These are the type, we need facts. We need empirical evidence. We need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack. on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals, everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years.
You got to admit, folks, that's impressive, even by deep state destruction standards.
And how did they do it? They knew that they had to target one of two main anchor points on that bridge. There are two load-bearing pylons that any structural engineer can identify that are on the end of each side of the bridge. These are the ones that are thicker and stronger than anything else on that bridge. And when you hit one of those pylons, when you take that out, the reason you see so much of that bridge collapse instantly is you just brought 50% of the span of that bridge coming crumbling down.
And she's right. And briefly, that is the thing that most struck me when I watched the video. It's literally like watching a bunch of dominoes come down.
And what you don't see beneath the surface of the water, Steve, is absolutely catastrophic. It is a structural nightmare and a logistical nightmare because you have the entire bottom part, the concrete part of that bridge, and you don't know the extent of the structural damage to that. And you won't know it until you pull all of that infrastructure out of there and you get to look at it. And so you're talking 3 to 5 years at best. And what you're talking about here is probably building a new bridge. So what you have effectively done now, you've shut down the I-95 corridor that's above ground. So now you're going to have to go north to New York. You're going to have to go south to North Carolina. Your trucks, your hazardous materials are going to have to go around Baltimore now. They're not going to be able to go through it. And what else did you do? You shut down the sea corridor, the shipping corridor, because now the port is shut down, right? And so all those tankers that are out at sea that have hazardous materials on them, those are going to have to all be rerouted. And why can you not move hazardous materials through the tunnel? Why is this such a big deal?
And here she goes into quite a bit of detail.
Because hazardous materials, for example, oversized loads, they don't fit in the tunnel system.
Yep.
And there's other loads that are so dangerous that they require a permit. It takes time to get a permit. It costs money to get a permit. It requires an escort, right? You've seen it on the highway sometimes. You've seen when you have these massive oversized loads and they've got escorts all around them, these huge convoys. Well, what do you do on one of the busiest corridors in the United States? You don't shut it down in the day. So this can happen. That means you can only move this stuff at night, which automatically impacts the amount of traffic that you can use. The tunnel is going to be overloaded. This is what you call death by a thousand cuts. It is an absolutely catastrophic attack on critical infrastructure, and you cannot see it because a cyber attack is unseen. Just like the attack on 2020 on the voting machine that you cannot see.
Not only that, folks, it looks like they don't want you to see. They're not going to allow you to see. They're going to keep on lying, and they're going to tell you you're a conspiracy theorist if you see something that they just aren't going to allow. Understand, too, that they're not about to tell you what the real effects of this are going to be down the line. But they're going to be very, very real and very, very destructive, as almost certainly planned. Back now to the rest of the conspiracy theory review and update. This time from New York City, Communist Central. Crime pays, says another headline. New York City has begun distributing prepaid debt cards to illegal invaders. Well, you bet it won't be too long till they're passing out cards for free night stays at Trump Towers. Here's a bit more of the, gee, how many times do we have to see this before maybe CNN and the WAPO start to report it? This time it's Zachary Stiver via the Epoch Times about Moderna and how their vaccine recipients, quote, have a greater risk of developing various chronic conditions, according to a new study. And who could have thought it? Yep. People who receive Moderna's COVID-19 not vaccine have a greater risk of developing chronic hives, say researchers, this time in Denmark. Most of the cases occur between 7 and 13 days following vaccination sick. And you can guess why, can't you? They have an effect on the immune system, it would seem. Finally, a bit of good news from the conspiracy theory front, courtesy of the Hal Turner radio show. Japan, the nation thereof, has just banned the COVID-not-vaccine mRNA shots for public use and called on other nations, finally, to follow suit after an official government study, this time has tied the injections to the nation's soaring, oh, you know it, don't you? Say it with me, sudden, unexpected deaths. From there, I want to wrap it up in another one of those conspiracy theory revelations that, well, strains credulity. But in this case, a little bit of math helps to realize just how big the lie we're supposed to swallow is. This comes from the State of the Nation via the Burning Platform and hopefully others. And it starts by noting just how serious what they intend to talk about is. For, they say, not only was Operation Warp Speed rolled out as a full-blown depopulation scheme, it was also designed to irreversibly debilitate and incapacitate as many vaccine-sick victims as possible. And what this really does is that it ties up the great majority of U.S. citizens so that they have no time or energy to hold their murderous government accountable. And they keep getting away with it. Likewise, all the institutional co-conspirators, including Big Pharma, Big Med, Big Media, Big Tech, et al., skate. Should the perps be successful in effectively covering up this highly organized and long-planned criminal conspiracy to commit mass global murder? The rest of the piece is called The Ongoing Carnage from the COVID Injections, and it's submitted by an insurance industry retiree who says, we're now just a few months into the year. Number four, since the COVID injections were rolled out in December 2020, there's now insurmountable evidence that the injections are not vaccines. They're an experiment in gene therapy that turns the human body into a spike protein-producing factory, and these proteins accumulate and attack every organ in our bodies. As of February 2024, says the author, hardly a day goes by without more damning information being revealed about the tragic consequences of these injections. The evidence is found everywhere, except, of course, in the controlled waste stream media, which continues pushing the fraudulent narrative. But cracks in the MSM narrative are now everywhere, and the truth is slowly but surely continuing to come to light. I spent 32 out of my 45-year career, says the author, in the insurance and reinsurance industries, the last 19 with one of the two largest reinsurance companies in the world. And he notes that the main point of this article concerns actuarial data confirming the devastating effects of the COVID injections on global population. Before I get to that, though, I want to share the most recent info about the catastrophic impact of these so-called vaccines. In just the first few weeks of February, numerous oncologists have revealed new epidemics of rapidly metastasizing cancers. They're being called supercancers and the like. They've exploded across the population, particularly among younger people, and this has never been seen before. Renowned Canadian oncologist and radiologist Dr. William Makis, who has diagnosed over 20,000 cancer cases of all kinds during his career, recently stated on camera at the People's Voice that he and his colleagues feel like kindergartners trying to explain what they're seeing. He reports that many of these turbo cancers, as some have begun to call them, metastasize so rapidly that patients often die within just days of diagnosis. He's further reported that many of these new cases present at stage four at initial diagnosis, which he's never seen before either. And Makis believes the COVID not vaccine Cyclone B injections are the proximate cause of this explosion in super or turbo cancers. According to Dr. Makis, the pressure for Canadian doctors to take and give the COVID injections was so overwhelming that more than 99% complied. Within months of the injection campaign, Canadian doctors began dying, many at very young ages in their 20s and 30s. Many died shortly after being poked, and virtually all the deaths occurred within a year of receiving the death by lethal injection. Some of the most disturbing data, he says, has been reported by the U.S. group Life Insurance Industry. On January 1st of 2022, a little over a year after the December 2020 rollout of the not vaccine injections, the CEO of One Life America, Scott Davidson, reported startling financial results and that death claims increased by 40% in the previous two quarters for policyholders in the company's group life division. And that group of insureds is covered by group policies issued to corporations, and they consist of what has historically been the healthiest population segment of 18 through 64-year-olds. And here is a fact, folks, that needs to be repeated. I've talked about it before. Said Davidson, just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a 3 sigma, or 1 in 200 200-year catastrophe would be a 10% increase over the pre-pandemic numbers. So 40% is just unheard of. Extrapolating from the numbers Davidson provided, if a 10% increase represents a 3 sigma or 1 in 200-year event, that 40% increase represents a 12 sigma or 1 in 800-year event. And, of course, nothing like this has ever been witnessed in the history of actuarial science. But, continues the author, perhaps his most disturbing statement was that, quote, most of the claims for deaths are not classified as COVID-19 deaths, but from a myriad of other causes. Myocarditis has been the most widely publicized cause of death among the Zyklon B injected. The UK-based website ExposedNews.com published a report on February 10th titled Shocking CDC Report. Autoimmune heart disease skyrockets, who could have thought it, post-COVID vaccination. And that report states that the risk of suffering myocarditis following the mRNA vaccination is about 133 times what it should be, meaning COVID-19 vaccination increases the risk of suffering myocarditis by 13,000%. So if the COVID not vaccine injections were safe and effective, one of the biggest lies in history, folks, as advertised, one would expect to have seen the number of deaths level off, then decrease from pre-pandemic levels, but the opposite has happened. And this has literally blown up the actuarial tables of the life insurance industry. The findings of this study are corroborated by Ed Dowd's important book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 22, and the numbers Davidson reported are now a little over 2 years old. So the recent explosion in cancer deaths isn't even included in the numbers. And at this point, says the author, there's no telling just how much worse the actuarial data will get as this new wave of cancer deaths becomes known. I expect, he says, that the life insurance industry will be under intense pressure. Yeah, it undoubtedly already is, folks, to suppress this information. But financial results ultimately speak for themselves. Hey, expect that one of the things that people will be pushing for behind the scenes, more bailouts, more cover-ups, and more financial non-disclosure. Anyway, it's still just a matter of time until the worsening picture is finally revealed. You can't keep hiding deaths forever. The criminal Pfizer organization has already positioned themselves to profit from the coming wave of cancer deaths caused by their mRNA injections, having completed a $43 billion acquisition of Seagen in December of last year, thereby doubling their oncology pipeline. Yet another case of problem-reaction-solution at work. The story closes with a quote from Rents.com dated February the 14th and a final warning from the late Dr. Luc Montagnier, and you can probably guess, although they're not about to tell you, why he just might be late. Anyway, he said, contrary to what was said at the beginning, these vaccines do not protect at all, and this is slowly emerging. This is scientifically recognized by all today. Well, all folks that aren't absolute whores to a fake masquerading as science. It's not only scientific experiments, he writes, to say it, but also all patients on whom the effects have been analyzed to prove it. Instead of to protect, as has been noted, it can even promote other infections by destroying people's immune system. The protein used in the vaccines for this virus is actually toxic. It is a poison. The vaccine, he says, was not born to kill, but to protect. And there have been many deaths, even young sportsmen, who have important problems due to this vaccine. It's an absolute crime, says Dr. Montagnier, to give these vaccines to children today. Let's stop mass vaccination, he says. It can also be very serious and cause nerve diseases in the brain. Due to the long-term effects of this not vaccine, there are a lot of people who are dying. Neurological disorders can also occur from the very first dose, and not only from the second. And even today, he says, before he died, no one can predict how many of these people who have been vaccinated will now have major neurological problems in the future. And he continues again, I ask all my colleagues to absolutely stop vaccinating with this type of vaccine. Doctors, he said, that are perfectly informed know what I'm saying, therefore they should intervene immediately. Yeah. We're not hearing much of that from the waste stream, are we? And he goes on to add this. The unvaccinated will save humanity. It depends on you, especially on the unvaccinated, who will be able to save humanity one day. Only the unvaccinated will be able to save the vaccinated. Vaccinated who will, in any case, contact the medical centers to be saved. We must avoid listening and giving a voice to those who do not have the right to do so, and let science speak. Hey, what a concept. I repeat it. It is the unvaccinated who will be able to save humanity. And says the author in conclusion, may God deliver us from this most egregious crime against humanity in world history. Although, admittedly, folks, that's a moving target. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.